one of the things I wanted to speak about was based on just my experience in traveling and staying with people, and that was time management, because it's, for many people, it's difficult to find the time to chant their rounds or to find the time to have time for much devotional service. Everyone's busy. So that was one thought I had, but then something came to my mind which is connected with this that has been coming up lately, and it is initiation, or even aside from initiation, just connection with a guru and what that means, or what does initiation mean? Because even if one is not thinking about initiation presently, still in the scripture it says one should take shelter of a spiritual master and one should receive initiation, so then we should know what that means. We should better understand that. And so I was thinking that two actually, they do work together, because when one takes initiation or one takes any kind of vow, then how to keep that up, how to manage one's life and manage one's day to be able to keep one's vows. And so it's not just time management, it's really, of course, it's about prioritizing, but prioritizing is time management. So they're all related. So those three, I think, relate together. So recently I was hearing Prabhupada speak about initiation. He said a couple of things. At first he said that first initiation is the initiation which a devotee is given the holy name by the spiritual master, and the devotee agrees to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regulative principles. So Prabhupada said that initiation is future hope, and that is given more liberally or more easily than second initiation, which is we call the brahminical initiation. And Prabhupada did not want to give brahminical initiation so easily. So first initiation is the hope that one can commit oneself to one's vows. Of course, one makes the vows, and it, in a sense, is a farce to make a vow and not follow it. But at the same time, there's a little leeway that maybe one is not 100% sure, or the guru is not 100% sure, but the effort is being made. Of course, as I said, we're taking vows, so we should be fairly certain we can follow them. But it's a little more liberal. We give the opportunity. And if one is not able to do it after being initiated after some time, still one works back to that standard. One, as best one can, will try to come back to that standard. So that's the standard. 16 rounds, four regulative principles, that's the standard. And that's what we strive for. But first initiation, it's given liberally. Maybe not everyone who's initiated will be able to perfectly do it, but we strive for that. But second initiation is not given liberally. It's only given if certain that one can follow the principles and chant 16 rounds. Now, another thing that Prabhupada said was he said that when one is initiated, or one gets initiated, or one commits himself to service to the guru, particularly to the mission of the guru. So in our case, that's the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada's mission. So that means that initiation is for those who want to be actively, or who will be actively engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness. So it's not like joining a club, because scripture says I should get initiated, then I get initiated and I go away. But one is getting initiated to help one's spiritual master spread Krishna consciousness, which in some cases that just means helping your local temple, because that is also service to your spiritual master, service to Srila Prabhupada, which is service to anyone's spiritual master, means we're also serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. So sometimes one may take initiation, take it in a way of kind of joining a club, that I get a name and I have a position. But it really should be with the intention of that at this point at initiation, I'm becoming more serious or more committed in my spiritual life to both service to the mission and a commitment to my principles. So the way this relates to time management, as I see it, is that when you commit to these principles, that takes a lot of time from your day, a minimum 2 hours. That's just for 16 rounds. For some people, it takes 3 hours. And if one is committed to do seva, then that takes up a lot of time on the weekends, or it may take up time in the evening. So what it means when you look at it, it means that one who's taking initiation is willing to give up certain aspects of their life, or yes, we could say common things that people do, spending a lot of time reading the news, surfing the internet, going to movies, playing sports, so many things that take up time, that it's we should consider that if one's taking initiation, that means either immediately or quite or gradually, but very soon, one is intending or one is giving those things up. And one is more serious about spiritual life. And as I said before, spiritual life is demanding on our time. And so we really have to eliminate a lot of activities from our life to find the time. If we have an active social life, it's going to take up a lot of time. If we have many extracurricular activities and hobbies, it's going to take up a lot of time. And anyone who is trying to chant 16 rounds knows very well that one has to eliminate a lot from one's life. Not just to chant the rounds, but if you want to find time to read and you want to find time to do service, it's difficult. So time management, how does that relate in Krishna consciousness? It's just a simple thing of priority. You know, what's important? What are the important aspects of our life? So as I'm saying here, when one becomes more serious about Krishna consciousness, then one really has to look at the priorities. And then a lot of things just get eliminated that are not absolutely essential. And of course, priority begins with 16 rounds, or how, if you haven't taken that vow, it just begins with whatever number of rounds you're doing, and that, and your life has to evolve around that. So just on Friday, I was staying with the family. So I was asking the lady of the house, what time in the morning do you have to start getting your kids ready for school and cooking and so forth? And she said 6 o'clock. And she wants to chant 16 rounds. So we determined that if she has to stop at 6, if she gets up at 5 and gets ready, that gives her about a half an hour. And she does some puja every day. So if she got ready quickly, did her puja at 5:20, and then she chanted from 5:30, that would give her 3 or 4 rounds. Just nice rounds, sitting down, chanting nice rounds. And then the rest of the day, she figures out how to chant it, chant the rounds, waiting for her kids when they're practicing their instrument or going to dance lessons or like that. And those rounds are not as good, or chanting while she's driving. So we kind of went backwards. We said, like, what time do you have to start your day? And then from there, go backwards. And you can see that if she gets up at 5, she can only chant 4 rounds before her day begins. It's not a lot. And that's pretty early in the morning. So really for her, she has to be very vigilant about that and even try to get up earlier, like 4:30 or even 4. And then she could chant for an hour, hour and a half. So you kind of work your life back and you see how much time do I actually have to chant. And the reason I was asking her to get up early, even though she said most days she gets her rounds done, because I knew that the quality of the rounds that she chants in the morning are going to be at least 5 or 10 times better than the quality of the chanting she's going to do the rest of the day. It's just because she doesn't, her work starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So she works till 8, from 8 till 3, 4. You know, she could chant during lunch, come back at the end of the day, has to prepare dinner, she's tired, a lot's going on, and it'll be difficult to focus. So, you know, just looking at this situation, looking at her particular situation, and just thinking about the challenges that devotees have who are married and have children, just to execute some decent bhakti, it is a challenge. You can get your rounds done. Getting your rounds done is a challenge, but really the greater challenge is getting your rounds done well. I mean, it's, you know, you can chant your rounds, you can squeeze out 2 hours if you're good managing your time, or if you can compromise a little bit on your sleep. You could squeeze out time to chant 16 rounds, but to squeeze out time to chant 16 good rounds, that usually means you have to get up early. And for many of us, getting up early is not easy. That means going to bed early is not easy. And there are a lot of things going on in our life. So really, it means simplification. You know, to be a serious bhakta and to be married really means there's a lot of simplification that has to go on in one's life. So that's how we came back to this concept of initiation. Now, a lot of people want to be initiated because they know it's going to help their spiritual life. But as Prabhupada said, initiation is not a fashion. Well, I'll just get initiated and then everything will stay the same. Or maybe we think I'll get initiated and automatically I'll make advancement, which is, you know, my experience is when you get initiated, there is some impetus to make advancement, but one should never think it's automatic. But what does happen, one connects with one's guru, and through that connection, there's inspiration to follow and to chant. So one could raise the argument, and it's a valid argument, that before I was initiated, I didn't have the impetus. And due to connection with my guru, I have the impetus to serve him through following his instructions and following my vows that I made to him. So that is true. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes, or it works that way for a while, but again, one may become slack. But that's the principal connection and inspiration. But also, that connection and inspiration can come before one's initiated, and one may connect with a senior devotee, be that devotee a Diksha Guru or not, and one can commit to that devotee that I will chant, let's say, for example, one could commit that I will chant four rounds and I will follow three regulative principles, for example. Just some kind of commitment and a connection, and get guidance from that devotee and accept that devotee as one's spiritual master or spiritual guide. So that's a really, you could say, an essential aspect of the relationship between guru and disciple, or the most essential aspect is the instruction that one gets from one's guru. And I mentioned this before, that a lot of devotees who don't feel they're ready for initiation, or may not feel they'll ever be ready for initiation, may not think to connect with a guru because they can't make those commitments. But one can make smaller commitments, and that will help one advance, and someday one may be able to make bigger commitments. But starting small is fine. It's the principle of commitments. At least you're committing, so that's good. You know, you've committed to something. Something's better than nothing. So, now Pallavi's saying, when you commit to the 16 rounds and the four regulative principles, if you can't follow it, then it does lead to guilt. And we had a show on guilt a few weeks ago, and I felt it was important to talk about that. So that's also something to consider when one is making vows. So this is an important point, that if one is not ready, then often a devotee thinks, but the Shastra says I should get initiated. So even though I'm not ready, I want to try to take initiation. Not try to take initiation. I want to take initiation and try to follow the principles. And the hope is that when I'm initiated, I'll become more serious, or I'll have the impetus. And I would say, in most cases, it won't last. But really, one should have the impetus and the commitment and the vow and the strength to follow one's commitment, and not think that the initiation will be like some panacea or some magic wand that's going to make it happen. It's not necessarily true. Or in many cases, or in most cases, it's not true. But really, it relies on our own strength, our own determination, our own decisions. But I would encourage everyone to connect with someone who can guide you, or someone you would like to commit to say, well, I'm committing to chant this number of rounds or follow these principles, and that person can help you. And then further down the road, you can be more committed as you become more steady. So that's just an observation I've made, because the Shastra says Diksha, initiation, is one of the main items of devotional service. But if we understand the main aspect of Diksha is the Siksha, not that we don't need Diksha, not that Diksha isn't one of the main items, not that Diksha is not an essential aspect, but the essence of the Diksha, what continues, is a Diksha, in a sense, is just a one-time event. Of course, it's a connection with the spiritual master, but the connection is based on, the relationship is based on instruction. And that's what continues after the Diksha. So the real initiation is the connection, or it's the devotion. So maybe one can't follow all the principles immediately, but one could connect with someone, and one could serve that person. One could even vow to that person to follow certain principles. So that's good. I think everyone should do that, in whatever condition we are in, whether we're ready for initiation or not, I think everyone should do that. And now we go back to our other point that, and I think I've spoken about this before, but it's just that I've been traveling a lot and observing what goes on in family life. And all of you who are married know that family life means you're busy, 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 busy. And many people leave very early to work and come home very late, and it doesn't leave a lot of time. And Krishna consciousness, when Prabhupada was spreading Krishna consciousness in America, most people were living in the temple, and they had a very, very good program of sadhana every day for at least 4 hours, maybe more. Four and a half hours. Some devotees more, even getting up at 2, 3 in the morning, going all the way till 9 o'clock, and then reading a few hours during the day. So it was an ideal situation, but being married, it's a challenge. And I'm not one here to say that if you're married, it means that you're not going to be Krishna conscious. It means it's going to be super, super difficult. I would just say that you just have to be smart about what you're doing and how you're living, because you are very busy, and your day can be easily taken up with little or no Krishna conscious activities, because you're living at home and you're not living in a temple where everybody gets up at a certain time, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 3:30. And even if you don't want to, you'll just get up and you'll go through the program because you have nothing else to do but go through the program. So it's a whole different situation when you're living at home. And therefore, one has to be more self-disciplined, which is good. You know, many, many devotees were very, very dedicated to Prabhupada and did a lot of wonderful service. I mean, very inspired devotees. But a few years after Prabhupada left, I couldn't maintain it. So there is a balance there between the inspiration that we get from our spiritual master or senior devotees and our own dedication to the principles and practices of Krishna consciousness. So for us, when Srila Prabhupada left, shortly after, within a few years, we realized how dependent we were upon his personal presence. And I know for myself, and many devotees have told me this also, that it was difficult for us to understand exactly how Krishna conscious we were, because so much of our Krishna consciousness was coming directly from Prabhupada's mercy and inspiration. And when we no longer had his personal presence, we had to take deeper shelter in his instructions and deeper shelter in executing those instructions. And if we didn't, many of us had a lot of trouble. And so there is this balance between dependence and inspiration coming from sangha, sadhu sangha, the pure devotee, satsanga, the general association of devotees, and our own determination, our own decisions to execute Krishna consciousness. So they go together, but sometimes we can go to one side too far and we think, it's all the mercy of superior Vaishnavas. I have no strength on my own. We may represent ourselves in terms of prayer with that sentiment. It is, I feel I have no strength. But we can't use that as justification or excuse for not executing the order of the Guru, not committing continually, being committed to our vows. That would just be an escape. It would just be an excuse. Well, I'm dependent on the mercy. And maybe you think, well, I'm not following now because I don't have the mercy. Or somehow or other, I've done something wrong. I don't have the mercy and I can't follow. And so the way we understand it, the way our philosophy teaches, is that Krishna, you take one step to him, he'll take 10 to you. So he wants to see that step, that we have to make the effort. That's how it works. And then Krishna gives intelligence, he gives inspiration. So a lot of times we get it mixed up and we think, no, it's just all mercy. I'm kind of helpless. So that's not healthy. So in Grihastha life, with all its complications, it's going to be difficult if we don't have some kind of determination to live according to a certain standard. Now, some people will say, well, how do you get that determination? And sometimes it simply just becomes a decision that from this point on, I'm going to do this. And we had discussed that last week. Sometimes it becomes a decision that there are certain standards that I cannot go below, that I have a threshold. And you see this in your own life. You have certain standards of behavior, and you won't go below those standards. Those are below your line of your threshold of integrity. You just wouldn't do certain things, and those have become your standards. It could be financial standards. It could be standards in marriage. It can be standards in work, of your work ethic. It can be in so many areas. And so if we do the same thing in Krishna consciousness with standards, you know, this is the threshold. I will not go below this. And that's how we commit ourselves. That's how that's how vows work. A vow has to be something that gets internalized. Otherwise, it's just a hope. I hope I can do this. But when it's internalized, it becomes a standard of which or for which anything lower is not acceptable. You know, this is my standard. And it just, you know, just as I'm saying, you have standards. Just like in the Krishna conscious movement, you never see a woman have abortion. That just doesn't happen. That's below our standard. You never see someone slips one day and they go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. These things are unacceptable for devotees. It's a standard that no devotee would accept. So the principle is to expand what is unacceptable. So then you can create other standards. That this chanting less than this number of rounds, it's unacceptable. This is the standard that I set for myself. And we can set these standards. And And serious devotees do set very strict standards, and the standards become part of them. That just becomes their life. It's not that they have to think about it, you know, should I do it today? Can I do it today? It is what it is. So that's important, and I think sometimes when people just jump into initiation without having understood that, then they can easily fall on their face because they haven't imbibed that internal, I don't want to call it determination, because I think it's different than determination. They haven't imbibed that internal standard. It's just, this is my standard. I don't go below this. I will not do this. I will not do that. That is my standard. So that's what Krishna consciousness means. So when we're talking about connecting with a guru, then we should understand these are the things it means, because like so often in talking about guru and disciple, you know, Prabhupada would say, well, the disciple is meant to do whatever the guru says, right? And so if one accepts a guru but one isn't willing to do what the guru says, then it kind of becomes a farce also. You know, why did you accept a guru if you don't want to follow? Because sometimes the guru may ask something, may ask you to do something that's difficult. Of course, the guru may ask you to do it and you may find it difficult, so he'll say, okay, don't do that, do something else. Or he may not ask you to do something you can't do. But in principle, accepting a guru means you're coming under the guidance of someone else and willingly you follow his or her instructions. Not that you really have the liberty to decide which are instructions you should accept and which are instructions you shouldn't, or what you can follow. Not that maybe you could say, well, I accept all the instructions, I just can't follow all of them, or I don't want to follow them, or I don't think I can follow them. Well, that may be true. But the principle is you don't reject those instructions. Maybe you can't follow, but you try. Maybe it's difficult, but you're in your heart you want to follow it. That's the idea. So accepting a guru is you can see it's kind of a turning point in one's spiritual life. And that's why I say that one shouldn't wait till one is ready for diksha before they accept a guru. But one should accept one now and take guidance and then become more serious about one's spiritual life by committing. And that's what it means. Otherwise, it can easily just becomes a ritual, like I took a guru. But it doesn't mean anything. You know, my life, you take a guru, but your life's the same. What's the point? You take a guru to dedicate your life. So the more you look at what spiritual advancement means, you see at a certain point, you really have to ask yourself, well, is this really what I'm serious about? Is this, do I want to do this? Because if you don't have that seriousness, then you will see that your days will get eaten up by so many other things. And if you listen to Prabhupada enough, you will see that one of the themes that he preaches about so often is simplicity. And he talks a lot about how hard everyone is working. People are working like asses. And then they're working what for? To get some money so they can buy things to send them to hell. And so their day is taken up in working, which is really propelling them to hell in the future or to a lower birth. So that was a common theme. He said, why are you working so hard? You should work hard for spiritual advancement, but you're working hard for material advancement. So now you might say, well, I'm also working very hard, like a mudha, and I have very little time for Krishna consciousness. So what do you think Prabhupada would say? He would say, why are you working so hard? And then you might say, well, I have to work that hard to maintain my family. And then Prabhupada might say something like, simplify your life. So in other words, it's not that we're just forced to work like that, but we made choices to do that because we want to live on a certain standard. Or perhaps we're supporting other people, or we want to retire young or whatever, but we created those standards. So it's something to consider that when we want to be serious about Krishna consciousness, certain things just have to give way and certain things have to change in our life. And Krishna consciousness always has to be the point in which all decisions surround or are made from. In other words, considering if I do this, how will it affect my Krishna consciousness? If I get this job, how will it affect my Krishna consciousness? If I have this third child or fourth child or fifth child or sixth child, how will it affect my Krishna consciousness? If I sell my house and buy a bigger house, a more expensive house, how will that affect my Krishna consciousness? If I sell this car and buy a new car, how will that affect my Krishna consciousness? Does it mean I have to open a second business, a third business? Does it mean I have to get a second job? Does it mean both my wife and I have to work and be gone 10 hours a day from home? What about the kids? You know, all these things our considerations. And so often you will find that when someone is serious about Krishna consciousness, then certain things which may be beneficial for materially, they may, I'm not saying always, but sometimes they may decide, no, I'm not going to do that because that's going to interfere with my Krishna consciousness. And so they may make a decision that will simplify their life. But we're the ones creating the burdens ourselves, generally. So we do have some control of that. So these are just some thoughts that have been going through my mind lately when I'm considering the challenges of being an initiated devotee. And now as we're talking, not even being initiated, just being someone committed to being a serious devotee, perhaps with the hope of being initiated, but just being a serious devotee, what that means in this culture. I was listening to a conversation the other day, and Prabhupada was taking a walk, and they were, I guess, in a park or somewhere, on a beach or whatever, and some people were coming. I forget what they're doing. They're doing some sport. I can't remember right now. So Prabhupada was saying, we're dedicating our whole life to spreading Krishna consciousness. We're giving our blood, we're giving all our energy to spreading Krishna consciousness to save people. And here, they're in the park playing this, you know, going sailboating, whatever it was they were doing. He said, they were just wasting their life, just wasting their life. So I was thinking how some devotees have told me they're attached to sports, to either playing them or watching them. And I think, so what would Prabhupada say? And he would say, wasting your life. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. You're on the threshold of deathlessness, and you're playing some sport. Now, to us, it just seems innocent. And of course, if you have children, then naturally there's more of this kind of activity going on, more playing, more fun, more games, and so on. But, I mean, imagine you're an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada, right? And Prabhupada calls you up on the phone and says, what did you do this weekend? And this weekend you went to Disneyland. I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, I went to Disneyland. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to have to tell Prabhupada I went to Disneyland. I'd rather tell him I was out on Sankirtan, or I was writing an article, or I was organizing a program. I'd rather tell him that than I went to Disneyland. Or Prabhupada calls you, what did you do tonight? Well, I was watching the soccer game. I'd rather tell Prabhupada I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or I was teaching devotees on Krishna.com, or something of that nature. So it's nice to look at things from this perspective of Prabhupada, who sees sports, for example, as a waste of time. And I know a lot of devotees like watching sports or playing them, but that's how Prabhupada saw it. He said, you're wasting. All these things are wasting. So wasting your life. So many things that we do, from Prabhupada's point of view, he would see them as, you're just wasting your life. And we don't think like that. We just think this is some diversion, it's something fun, whatever. Of course, as I said, when you have kids, and these things are more natural. But still, I'm not talking about doing things to their kids. I'm just talking about things that you like to do, or, you know, spending hours reading news magazines or newspapers. So Prabhupada calls you up and said, what did you do tonight? Well, I spent 2 hours reading Time magazine. And then Prabhupada says, did you read the Bhagavatam today? And you say, no. So what do you think Prabhupada would say? Say, well, this is very good. You're reading Time magazine. You're keeping up on the current events of the world. That's very, very helpful for your Krishna consciousness. And you didn't read Bhagavatam. He says, no problem. It's just the Bhagavatam. You don't have to read it. I mean, that's the reality of our life. You know, we take a lot of things for granted. And we think, well, it's okay, or it's natural. Yeah, it might be natural. But my whole point is that when you become serious about Krishna consciousness, a lot of these natural things have to be given up. And the unnatural has to be accepted, and the unnatural will eventually become natural because it is natural. We just don't see it that way. So the more I look at what Prabhupada taught us, and therefore what he expected of us, he expected people who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness to be serious about practicing Krishna consciousness. And, you know, people who take, I'd say people who take to Krishna consciousness, he expected them to be intelligent enough to be serious about it. Because it's very easy not to be serious about it. It's very easy to get caught up in the material world. It's very easy to get caught up in material activities. It's very easy just to kind of go on autopilot and just live our lives from our conditioned nature. And just, as we spoke last week, and just to accept that that's just how it is. And that's who I am, and that's all I can do. And Prabhupada expected a lot more. And So we were beginning this talk by saying, you know, if you want to be serious about your spiritual life, you're going to have to see, you know, you're going to just have to look at your day and see, well, when do I start my day and what do I do and how can I organize my schedule so I can chant some really good rounds? And how can I organize my schedule so every day I have time to hear and chant or at least read something or discuss or with another devotee or be on the internet listening to some class or reading some articles, you know, on a steady basis? And do I have time for a little puja? And do I have time for a little seva? These things we have to consider and plan, like they say, you know, anything you want to do, just plan it into your schedule. So for us, you know, if we're not doing something steadily and we want to do it steadily, then we should put that in our schedule. Okay, at this time I do this. This time I read. That's the idea. So I would like to stop for a moment and ask you, do you have any questions? Is anything coming to mind? Do you have any comments? Does this all sound fanatical? Or does this sound sensible? I'm not trying to be fanatical. I'm just explaining what I'm observing in people that I'm living with who are trying to be Krishna conscious. And I see the less deliberate we are about being Krishna conscious, the more life just takes us and fills up our day. And the more deliberate we are, the more we can carve time out. Yeah, it's not just your reality, Pallavi, it's everybody's. And what we have to reflect on is that we did create that reality. I mean, you know, we went to school, we became professionals, and professional career for many people easily can mean being gone from home 12 hours a day, you know, between getting to work and coming home, driving home. That's not uncommon. So let's say you have to leave for work at 7 and you need, you know, an hour, 45 minutes to get ready, prepare your lunch or breakfast, so on and so forth. You know, you're starting your day at 6 and maybe you don't get home till 8 o'clock and, you know, taking care of this and bills and this and that, you know. Is that really the kind of lifestyle we want to live, you know? So we have to look at these things and say, yeah, you know, I have a nicer house and a nicer car and more money in the bank, but is that really that important? And so these considerations come up in our lives as we're advancing in devotional service. And then we see there's a threshold there, and we can see it very clearly. If I go beyond that threshold, my life is going to become complicated, and a lot of time is going to be zapped up in just maintaining a standard of living that perhaps is really not necessary for me. Now, Prabhupada wasn't against living comfortably. What he was against is living comfortably at the cost of your spiritual life. That's really what he is. You know, you may live in a mansion, but if you have time to execute devotional service, and Prabhupada's not going to say, this is a horrible thing, you're living in this mansion, why are you doing this? But even if you're living in a little apartment, but you're busy all day, to the extent you have no time for a service, then he would say, so what's the value of being busy? If you're so busy, you can't even engage in Krishna consciousness. So, Catherine says, life does just whittle my day when I don't start my day with God. It's true. I think, you know, in one sense we could say, I think, at least I feel this way, that Krishna created the morning as a time to be with him, you know, very intimately. People who are not practicing Krishna consciousness use the morning hours for prayer, for reading. It's a sacred time for them. So it's a very precious time. And so whatever time you have to go to work, you know, work back from that and see, well, you know, I have to get ready at this time. So let me work back from that and see, when really do I need to get up? Or perhaps in the evening I could make, if I have to make meals for the next day, perhaps I can do some of that in the evening. Or, you know, if I have to iron my clothes or whatever I have to do, if I can save time in the morning. I'm just throwing out ideas because my point is that we need to connect with a guru. We need, and that connection with a guru means we'll get guidance. And the guru doesn't want to give guidance if you're not going to follow it. And so we need to be somewhat committed. So even if they say, well, oh, Guru Dave, I'll chant one round and follow one principle, at least it's a start, something. So it begins a pattern, or you begin on a track of reorienting your life in a different way, because now Krishna consciousness is going to occupy more, it needs to occupy more time in my life and more time in my consciousness, more energy in my consciousness. So that's what's so good about this, becoming, connecting with someone who can guide you, because then it's forcing you to be more serious and more committed. And in that commitment, my whole point, really, if you really extract what I'm saying here, is like the whole point is to be more deliberate about your spiritual life. Otherwise, if we're not deliberate, it's just like you're saying, Catherine, the day just goes. And the more we do, it's like the more we attract more to do. I've seen that myself. Sometimes I really make an effort to be very focused on my Krishna consciousness because I know in my day in doing things, the more I do, the more I get involved in trying to just improve things, it becomes a big entanglement. Well, you know, I could get this. This is better than that. Let's go investigate that. And then let's go to the store and look at it. You know, let's spend a half a day, 2-3 days just, you know, investigating something that I need to buy that maybe I don't even really need when it comes down to it. So, you know, a serious devotee has to consider all these things. Am I willing to put in this much time to doing A, B, or C, as opposed to time I could be reading the Bhagavatam, I could be doing puja, I could be chanting more rounds. This is how we have to think, because otherwise the day is just gonna, this is just hog up our time like a vacuum cleaner, just sucking time out. It's true. So Pallavi says, this is definitely not the kind of life I wanted to live, and yet I have carved it out. So ironic. Yeah, very good point. That many of us are living lives that if we could paint the picture of our life, we would not paint it this way. I think one author said, everybody intends to write their life story, but it always ends up differently. That means we're really being pushed around by the culture, by the environment, and we're not really deliberately creating what we want. So we can change that and become more deliberate about what we want. Really consider, is this what I want? Is this because I've created it? It didn't happen by accident. And once we accept that it didn't happen by accident, that I actually did create this situation, then we realize I could create another situation, a situation that I would like better. So how to do that? Well, that's where Krishna will guide us. He'll give us intelligence. Certainly, if we want to do that, he'll show us how. But life is complicated, and it's not going to get any less complicated. The world is getting more complicated. Like I say, and other people say, you know, now that I have all these time saving devices, I have less time than I ever had. So it's true. The time saving devices are just enabling us to do more. So we're not saving time; we're actually doing more. It's just, you know, it used to be that I could only do it in my office. Now I can do it wherever I go. So I wouldn't call them time-saving devices. I would call them work-increasing devices. And I would say so much of what's going on now is just we're being facilitated to work more. And the cost of living is higher, wages are lower, so everyone has to work harder. Husband and wife have to work. So, you know, this is not, if you listen to Prabhupada, you read his books, particularly if you listen to his lectures, his morning walks, his conversations, you will see his theme is pretty much simplify, you know, utilize your life for self-realization. What's the whole point? You have all these things. You've worked hard. Great. You've created an empire for yourself. And what's the point? So now you can go to hell. You know, at the cost of making millions of dollars, you go to hell. So what's the point? Better you're poor and Krishna conscious. So these are things to consider. And does anybody have any other comments or questions? As you can see here, I'm not really speaking so practically. And you know, all those who know me know I speak very, very practically. And I think particularly in this situation, I don't want to be so practical because everyone has a different situation. And I think what's most important is realizing that we have to be more deliberate about how we live our days. Otherwise, the days just get occupied with so many things. And we have to be careful about our diversions, you know, our Facebook, our email, our this and that. Creates a lot of diversions. I mean, not saying that it can't be used or it's not beneficial, but a lot of times it's just time, you know, time that could be utilized for chanting more rounds. Oh, I don't finish my rounds. Why? Well, how long were you on Facebook today? How long did you spend reading the news? How many hours did you sleep? You know, how many naps did you take in the afternoon? How much television did you watch? All these things. So my original point is that a lot of people will want to take initiation, but they'll not be deliberate about their sadhana. They'll just take initiation, but their life doesn't change much. And so really, you know, when you take initiation or you're striving for it or you want to connect with another devotee and get guidance from that devotee, then it really means we have to be ready to make some changes, some shifts. Now, I'm not saying you can't have things you want or need, but all I'm saying is you shouldn't, if the only way to have them is to compromise your Krishna consciousness, then you have to consider that. Well, what's the value of that thing? You know, I worked hard to get this, but I lost my Krishna consciousness. So what's the point? That, I mean, Prabhupada made that point so many times. And Prabhupada did not like this civilization at all. For this very reason, he said, because life is complicated. And when it's complicated, we don't have time for devotional service. We just have time for working. Our days become consumed with work. And then by the weekend, we're burned out. We just want to zone out. Not good system. Okay, 8:54 here in Alachua. And if you have anything to say, please, or any question to ask, please ask now. Because I think I've made my point clear, and I don't want to belabor it more than necessary. And maybe we can get some good reports from you on how you're applying these principles. Last week we had a nice show, and it's about, as Pallavi is saying, it's about not ending up living a life that you just happened to be living, you didn't really want to live, but actually living the life that Krishna wants you to live, or Prabhupada wants you to live, how he's instructing you to live, what is the standard of a Krishna conscious person, and carving that life out for yourself, and being the one who carves that life out, rather than allowing Maya to be the one who's going to carve that life for you. Because, you know, many of us are just responding to the impulses of things around us and our own conditioning and our own self-doubt, our own our beliefs that are antagonistic to what we want to achieve. So, something to think about. I thank you all.